woke up this morning with the sun down shining in him.
Oh. Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
Oh, it's, it's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sun down.
Well, most of the Jacks. I'm Tom Holly, just Brett Weber. And the board, S&P futures up 4, and NASDAQ futures up 3. This is after a huge comeback yesterday, as Chairman Powell kept saying that there is no stinking inflation, no way, no how. At some point, I think we need to get the hook for the guy, but that's just me. I don't want to. We're gonna be nice this morning, you know. Try to be anyway. Kevin, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing okay. The hook would be cool, wouldn't that be great? Yeah. If somewhere like in the middle of a press conference, out came the old hook and, you know, grabbed him around the neck and yanked him off the stage.
But
we need to get back to old times, old measures, tried and true. You know, the things that work.
Yeah. In today's politically correct world, I mean, you can't do that stuff, but we could do the gong show thing.
I would go, you know, a gong would be all right. Yeah, I think that I could work that.
How about a?
I mean, politicians' press conferences would last about 20 seconds.
If our man Maddie was on the cusp here and was ready to make us money, I got one for us. We should. What Pat Riley got a copyright on three-peat?
He tried.
He did, I think. They had to pay him money for every one of those jerseys they put out.
Yeah, but he didn't actually three-peat, did he?
The Bulls did.
Huh?
The Bulls did.
The Bulls did, yeah. But then that's Riley didn't.
No, he got the trademark on the three-peat, even though he wasn't a Bull.
Yeah, no, I get that. But he did it in anticipation of the Lakers doing it, and they didn't.
I'll bet you a dollar more than he did it for the Bulls, and they did it.
I'll bet you a dollar back. What's Mortimer's brother's
Randolph.
Name? Randolph. I'll bet you Randolph. Randolph that he did it when the Lakers had two in a row.
Oh, and you brought it out again for the Bulls? That could be.
He expected to cash in at a different time. That's all.
Okay, I forgot all about that. And you know what? I never saw that on the. Only you would know that. I never saw that here. I just when the T-shirt started coming out. And they said, yeah, Pat Riley had the trademark. I assumed he had done it that day. I didn't realize he'd done it before. Maybe he did. Okay, but the fact is, how about the...
For a while there, he was looking a little foolish.
Yeah, well, how about the bull bleep buzzer? Only not bleep for politicians.
That would be good.
That has a ring to it.
Yeah, we need to work on that. That needs to become an official Stocks and Jocks project. I'll come up with some stuff for Friday. I get Lou to work on it for tomorrow.
Yeah, Lou's always good for something like that. I have a question, somewhat of a serious question.
A shock collar would work for me.
Oh, God, yeah.
That would be fun.
Or a squirt of fake ink or something, disappearing ink, all of a sudden it lands on his shirt, you know, type of thing. That'll work.
Pie in the face. I go pie in the face.
But on the inflation number, and if you listen to the bull the guy was putting out yesterday, we start talking about it's transitory, it's just a brief blip, and by the end of the year everything will be fine. Now my question is, and this is not me just kidding around here, my question is, Last year, new car prices were up 6.5%. I read all this last night. Used car prices were up 11.4%. And I wasn't, didn't we talk about yesterday, was it earlier in the week, the housing prices in the last quarter of last year were up like 7%, weren't there? Some, I forget the number. Man, if you can find that, I don't want to be inaccurate here. Now, when we say something is transitory, now we had the average wage increase last year of what? 2? Now, when we say transitory, does that mean by the end of this year those prices come back down, or they just flatten out to his insane 2%, and the bubble stays there? I'm going to say the bubble stays there. So if the bubble stays there, how do people end up even on that? I'm just curious. But so when you say it's transitory, does that mean they come back down, or does it mean they just stay at the new level and don't?
Well, yeah. So what you're saying is if the cost of a dozen eggs goes up to $10, and you gasp for that about that and say it's transitory, and then the next year after that it's $10.10, you say, see, it only went up 10,
yeah,
you know, that percent.
That's a very big problem. Frank and I, if you're listening on Monday, we're going through the way this stuff is being is weighted in the CPI. And this, I'm not taking any kind of shot at the poor guy or lady who's sitting there actually researching the price of white bread or bread not white or whatever the hell, the different bazillion little categories they have there. I'm not saying that person's lying at all. What I'm saying is the percentage of what is in the basket is totally screwed up. Now, I mean, these are legitimate questions. Like, I'm trying to have most of them legitimate. But if you're just working the numbers, and Kevin, you live in, you know, whatever town it is, Mayberry. If you don't have any sort of a, if you any sort of a town, say there's no city sticker for your car, and I'm doing the CPI for Mayberry, and all of a sudden there's the guy, some bump becomes mayor, and your city sticker is now $500. Now you sit there and go, holy bleep, Batman, $500. Well, it's not in the basket at all, right? So it's no increase from last year. But now it squeezes into the basket. All right, so now it's $500 out of your hide. And it stays $500 for the next 10 years. So for the next 10 years, it's actually a drag on inflation, even though the first 500 was never accounted for.
The first 500 was transitory.
Yeah. And I think what you can't, I mean, when the guy was supposed to be the world's greatest economist, you can't assume that a 10% bump 1 year in car prices that stays there when people don't get anywhere close to a 10% raise is transitory. That is stone cold ignorant to how it affects your population that you work for to pay your friggin' salary. Or am I being too harsh here? And Dave's supposed to be nice.
No, I don't think you're being too harsh. I think the problem is that we always report year over year, quarter over quarter, and sometimes you have to step back and you have to report, you know, 10-year trends. You know, what was it 10 years ago?
You will never see them do that, Kevin. Those numbers are damning.
Yeah, but if you really, you know, if you really want to understand, what has happened over time in society, that's the only way you're going to do it. And you know, it's nuts that we don't, but we don't.
Remember the song? You're the song man. We really want to know what time it is. Does anybody really care? I tell you what, if you're 70 and you see those prescription drugs go up an ounce 5.5% a year, and your Social Security goes up 1.3, you care. But nobody cares about those people, right?
No, we'll just don't worry. We'll ship them to nursing homes. They'll
die from COVID. There, it's not funny.
Yeah, it'll take care of the pricing problem.
That'll take care of that pricing problem. By the way, it helps us on our Social Security as well. Hey, Tiger Woods, boy, that was awful, huh? Poor guy.
Yeah, it was. I didn't pay really close attention to the details, but it sounds like he is very lucky to be alive.
Oh God, don't do that to us. If he was lucky, he wouldn't have been in the crash.
Well, that's true.
You see, so
that's true. But given the crash,
yes, Sounds like a Ben Hogan.
You know, it'll be interesting to see. You know, he's had severe injuries. He may be a former professional golfer, Tiger Woods. Now he may just as well. You know, man's got a lot of willpower, so he may be back. He may be back on the senior tour. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with him professionally.
It sounds like if he can walk again, he's doing good, at least at this point.
Yeah.
You know, this is a...
So it could wind up being a really cool story that, you know, if he comes back, because he's old enough here, or he will soon be old enough for senior tour, right?
He's 45. What's senior tour, 50?
Oh, I think you got to be 50. Okay, so he's got a little ways to go.
You know what this is eerily remindful of, and you and I were very, very young, is Ben Hogan's car crash.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought he would never play again, and somehow or another, he had multiple injuries of some, and they didn't have the same kind of surgery now as they do now. But still, he somehow made it back with sure willpower.
Yeah, almost everybody who achieves at that level is just so focused and driven
in
what they do. You know, there once in a while you see somebody with incredible natural talent, or you'll see a John Daly who just isn't focused and driven, and so he used to show people every once in a while what he could do, but he never really put it together.
Well, no, he had issues. But, But I also think that is such a, you know, people look at golf and they say, is that even really a sport? Well, it is, I think. Well,
it meets both of my definitions.
But the interesting part is it's the only professional thing that I know of. I mean, I don't know, maybe you guys probably know something more, but where if you show up and you don't make the cut, you get zippo, zip, zip, zip.
Oh, yeah. They often laugh at some of the other sports, especially when they're negotiating and saying, here's what my minimum's got to be and all that. And they say, you should come out on the tour sometime and see what happens when you get sent home after playing a couple days of golf and you don't, and you got nothing. All you have is the expense of getting there.
Well, Arnie Palmer used to say that, in the old days, when he was probably the tournaments were a big tournament was $100,000, and I think the winner got 20, and then the second place guy got 12, and then 8, and then they sprinkled it through all the rest of the guys that made the cut. And he said if you wanted to make any money, you had to win the tournament, and you couldn't come in third or fourth, 10 times during the year and be a bazillion dollar golfer. I mean, if you didn't win, and you're walking away with $8,000. That's no dough, really. I mean, not to mention if you were in like fifth place and you're getting 2 or 10th place, you're barely covering your. Those guys actually would drive from place to place. Matter of fact, they had a pro bowlers tour thing at the arena in 103rd and Cicero, a place where I was in a bowling league. And when they had the pro bowl, the lot was loaded with Winnebagoes. Guys drove in their Winnebago and lived in the Winnebago for a weekend. I mean, they couldn't afford a hotel room and stuff. That's pretty scary.
Well, I think the bowler store probably never had that kind of money attached to it. Let's put it this way. A very few, there were probably some who could put their names on equipment. And,
yeah. Dick Weber, guys like that.
Make money that way, yeah.
But, they were bigger. They were higher rated on Saturday than the NFL was on Sunday for many years.
Oh, yeah, and it was one of, I think it was ABC's, and it was one of their favorite properties to broadcasting because it costs nothing. The production cost is practically zero.
Well, yeah, you put up a couple of cameras in a bowling alley. I remember the guys. It was with Dick Weber. He was a big star. Ray Bluth?
Yeah, you can still find the Pro Bowlers Tour on cable on a Saturday or something like that. It's easy to watch. Everybody's bowled.
So, yeah, oh yeah.
You can relate to it.
Oh, I mean, in those days, everybody bowled. Everybody. I mean, if you didn't bowl, something wrong with you. Then you had the couples leagues on Sunday and the whole bit. Many of these bowling alleys, the women's leagues were in the morning, the guys were at nights, and the couples leagues were on the weekends. And they were mobbed. I could never have been in one of those. Of course, there were a lot of shift work back then, but there were 9:30 leagues for guys that had the second shift. I only bowled a 6:30. I could never bowl a 9:30 league. For God's sake, when are you done? 1 o'clock? Or else you just go to work hungover. I guess I don't know. But Kevin, did you notice the huge move in the market yesterday with the Powell talking? We were down 350 points in the NASDAQ futures and came back to positive and then closed down like 80 in the last couple of minutes. It was an incredible comeback. Yes, the Spider was traded 381 and closed at 388. It's like, you know, that's equivalent of 80 spook points, for God's sake. I mean, that's incredible.
Well, chickens are going to come home to roost sooner or later.
You know, it is so uneven. You know, the Bitcoin was 46 and we're to close over 50, right, Manny? It's over 50 now? Some of this stuff is just flying. It's 50,800. Yesterday morning we had it, 46? So it's up another, yeah. It's up 3,600. I mean, this is...
It was 57, though, a few days ago.
True.
I mean, it's not even close to all the way back.
The way it's moving around, 1 day, 2 days?
It could, or it could go down to 40 in 2 days.
Yeah. I mean, it's this... This the stuff that's the high end, really really risky stuff, is the stuff that's going crazy on us, Kevin. And it's, I'm not so sure that's healthy. I don't know what it means to say it's not healthy, but it's sort of crazy. I know I have right now I have a real lot of money to put to work, and I did a little bit yesterday when we were down. The price of, I mean, everybody knows I do a protected program where I like to buy puts for my people, so. Especially those that are retired and so forth. So no matter what, they're covered. At least they, you know, you can lose a little bit, but not very much. And the price of insurance, I've never seen it this high, other than a crisis situation. I mean, it's like, I mean, you can't even. It's almost to the point where it's like buying a Corvette. So I'm trying all kinds of imaginative little ways to get people in the market like a little bit without having to. Go full bore in right now, because it's not the price of the market that I'm worried about. It's the price of insurance. And this is so different than before in 2007 when the market was at highs, but the implied volatility was really low to where you didn't care if you got in at the top because the price of insurance was so cheap that it almost didn't matter. You could buy extra insurance. And, you know, it's like, what do you care if you pay 50 grand for the Corvette if the insurance is $200 a year? If somebody steals it, so what? You get a new Corvette. But if it's 5 or 6,000 a year, you just look at yourself and go, "Do I really need this car?" I mean, it's a lot of decisions to be made here, and you know they obviously believed Powell yesterday that he's not going to do anything in the next month, but I don't think they're believing him out any stretch of time. And I don't know. I wish I could put my finger exactly on what people are worried about, but the numbers tell me they're worried. And even yesterday, the VIX. We only came down to 23. We were up to over 25. So 23's high on a day that was... Yesterday is one of the... I'll throw in a little how models are done. If you look at the volatility from yesterday, if we're here... What was the date yesterday? 23rd? If 5 years from now we're sitting here and go, hey, what was the volatility here? What was the move on the 23rd of February in 2021? It's gonna see... It's an inside day. What, the Spiders were up a buck and a half or $2, and the NASDAQ was down, what, 50 or something? And the Dow was up some. You're saying it's a mixed upside, inside day. No, it wasn't. But the convention is that you look at your market from close to close. If you go back and look at every volatility number since people collected them, you go back to whatever day it was and, you know, God knows when, and it's going to show you close to close. And your historical volatilities are based on close to close, and always have been. Now, a day like yesterday, you question whether that's an accurate number, okay? But that is the number. So unless you know a day specifically, if you were to say, God, I seem to recall my grandfather told me about, you know, the 23rd of February. Unless you specifically call up the day, you will never know. By any long-term number, unless you look at the high and the low, you will never realize how volatile yesterday was. Otherwise, you're going to say, "Hey, you know, the Spiders are up $2. Must have been a yawner." Well, it wasn't a yawner, and that's the way the convention is. So, is yesterday's movement included in what you consider to be historical volatility? The answer is no. Now, that's the convention. Now, there's going to be some days. You know, where you see a, you know, kind of a big move where it just opens there and stays there. Where if as a trader, it was a nothing. So, I mean, the numbers, before people wing the numbers around like they know what they're talking about, you sort of need to know how the numbers are derived. And I'm saying that's kind of an ancient, that's an old guy thing, Kevin. I know you feel the same way on that one. Just saying.
Well, yeah. Closing number is about as valuable as an average in terms of, you know, coming up with some kinds of understanding the volatility. You know, variance is everything.
Well, all they do is do
Variance, yeah, and randomness are the two important measurements.
Right.
Not a spot price.
Well, but if you were to go back, Matt, I don't know what your models and what your mess of numbers would be if you tried to take account of both. I don't know how you'd even do it. But if you traded yesterday, you realize that a lot of money was made and lost that was not, that if anybody traded, that is not shown in the history book, shall we say. So it's just something that you should, if you're somebody who tries to trade from afar, which, you know, obviously a boatload of people do, and you have you're looking at your IB platform or your Schwab platform or whatever, and you see these numbers of historical volatility, and you can dig through, I think isn't there an iVolatility.com that has all these numbers in there? Just be aware, it's always close to close. And it's something like yesterday is not in the numbers. All I'm saying. I'm not saying you shouldn't trade or should trade or whatever you should do. I'm just saying you should know that that's how they're derived. So let's talk a little bit about college basketball, Kevin. Talk about a segue. Are we going to get any fans?
I have to.
They were down up 20 the other day and blew it again?
Yeah. Yeah, they've blown a couple of big leads. That team has such a glass jaw. As soon as anybody makes a run at them, they just fold it up.
Is that just it's obviously not the coach. Is that just the people you end up with on the floor that a leader doesn't develop?
I think so. I don't see... I'm not in the arena, so I'm not going to see everything, like in the past. But there's always, almost every good team has that one guy, maybe two, who, are the ones who are kind of controlling everything. Coaches love to work through their leaders, and they always do. I mean, that's good management technique. It's good for anybody. And when you have, an exceptional leader, like a Pat Connaughton, for example, or a Torrey Jackson, or even Demetrius Jackson was quite good. And he wasn't at the beginning. When he first got kind of pushed into that role, because I talk to him about it all the time, back when I used to actually be able to have long conversations with the players, it was really hard. He had to learn on the fly, and he got really good at it. But there's always that one guy who is pulling everybody together every time the other team is making a run or every time something's breaking down. You got the guy on the court who's just, the whistle blows, and he's the one pulling them together and maybe, sometimes barking at them a little bit, sometimes, sweet-talking people, but it's always the one who is keeping everything organized and keeping everybody focused. And when you see coaches always have to call timeouts when the other team makes a run, that tells me that the people on the floor aren't leading. There's nobody leading it on the floor. And I think that's where this team is, they're nice guys. They can play a little bit, but they, there just isn't that guy who steps up and says, "Guy, we're not doing this. We're not going to blow another lead like this. Now, get your act together. You're breaking down on this corner of the zone. Get your shit together."
The kid from Connecticut never really panned out as a four-star recruit or something that he was supposed to be.
Oh, Juwan Durham, he's actually playing pretty well. But his personality isn't going to do that with the other guys. But Durham's actually the
what's the status of
playing very well about the last 10 games.
What's the status? No press in any of these games either?
Pardon?
There's no press. It's totally. Is anybody in the?
No, the post-game press conference is Zoom.
But what about the game itself? There's no reporters there either.
No, and most of the time there's nobody on site calling the game, too. They're calling the game from the studio or from home.
When are we going to be over this?
I'm over it.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm totally over it.
I don't get how the Super Bowl, they had people there and nobody came away with a COVID flash.
Oh, everything that has been that was going to be a super spreader event wasn't. The Super Bowl celebrations... The North Carolina students who were celebration in, on campus, and that was going to be a super spreader event. Never happened. Everybody keeps flying off the handle about stuff, and it just it isn't coming to fruition.
Well, we had people in the football stadium months ago. Why aren't the same distancing being maintained in the basketball arena?
Well, Kentucky had about 3,000 last night, Louisville.
Right, and they're all COVID disease today, or what? Or is that that's what people want to tell us?
No, probably not. I doubt it. The arena holds 20,000, so they were able to spread out.
The Big Ten, I can tell you, is allowing, and has been all season, family members of the players to attend all the games. Media can attend the games, but are spread out, and then the actual press conferences are done over Zoom. So they're not actually in the media room for the press conferences, but they are at the game. And then broadcasters, it's been a mix. There's been a few games where the broadcasters are there, and then many others where they're broadcasting from home. So there doesn't seem to be a set policy.
Well, that in itself is kind of, and it's not going to change as we keep vaccinating people.
The NCAA tournament is allowing 25% fans, I believe, at all the Indiana venues.
By the way,
I got to get our buddy John to get us into the Butler venue.
Yeah. By the way, I in one of my missives that I get from people in my coronavirus hot room that I'm in, they are looking at the virus. They're vaccinating people over a certain age, and same thing they're doing here in Britain, and they've been doing it now for what, Kevin? I'm going to say 8 weeks, 20 weeks, somewhere in there. And it will continue to stay after the break. S&P futures up 12 now, and NASDAQ futures up 56. There ain't no stinking inflation. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Blowing up, Mike Bay Stocks Jacks. I'm Tom Holly, just Brett Weber. We have Mr. Kevin O'Neill as well. You know, I was talking about the weird stuff, digging around on the break, man. As I was on the way in, I was waiting for you. They came out and said something about the new car prices are up to the point where the median, I don't know if it was average or median, but I think it was, might have been average. The average car can't be median, can't be that high, but the average car price is, it's like $40,500 now. And, I'm gonna have to say that I'll dig this, I'll have it for tomorrow. I'm gonna say that this is the first time in anybody's lifetime that the median car price is higher than the median salary, median income of a person. Just think of that. An entire year's work is not worth a car. When has that ever happened for a median car?
How much were they when they first came out?
I'm going to say they were in the hundreds. Well, that was Ford's whole thing.
The Ford made a big thing about it, but in general, I think most people probably couldn't afford cars.
I'm going to say you're probably right. But before Ford's Model T, it was probably more than an average person's salary. But how many years ago was that?
Long time ago.
Yeah. S&P futures up 10, Nasdaq futures up 50. We're putting a whip to it here a little bit. Dow futures up 63. Over in Europe, we've got DAX up 116.8%. And yes, they never happen. FTSE up 18 points, 0.3%. CAC around up 12.2%. So DAX was down the most yesterday. It's up the most today. The other guys are everybody's pretty even on the 2 days there. For Asia, Nikkei down 484. That's 1.6%. They were up yesterday, even though the rest of the world was down at that time. This is still a big move for those guys. Shanghai down 72, that's 2%. Hang Seng down 914, that's 3%. Singapore stocks were actually up, so it's very mixed bag over there. Yesterday is a way of review. At the end of the day, the Dow was up 15, S&P was up 5, NASDAQ was down 67. Bonds, 137, yet another high. The Bund minus 0.31, that thing, I don't know, I can't believe they're still negative, but they are. Japan positive 0.12 now. Wow, so they're continuing to creep ever so slowly. Oil up another 69 cents, 62.36. Brent up 83 cents, 66.20. Natural gas down a penny, as we are getting a little warmer, 2.86. RBOB up another 2 cents, 1.88. So I'm thinking that 2.35 gas is a thing of the past here, at least for a while. Gold up 2.20, 18.08. Silver up 19 cents, 27.88. Copper up 3 cents, 4.21 on copper. There's the best trade of the year that I absolutely did not make. I didn't buy copper. I didn't buy FCX. I don't know. It's very, very bad. Platinum up 36, 1276. And we got another Bitcoin up 4,000 to 51,211. Way above the 46 of yesterday, but not as high as the 57 of a few days ago. So in the middle. Betty, what do you got for us?
Coming up on 38 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We're off to a great start, actually, on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways compared to a busy last couple of weeks. You're cruising into downtown today. No issues at all on the Edens or Kennedy. Eisenhower and Stevenson still looking good. Traffic starting to build, but no accidents or issues to report. Same for the Southside expressways. Only crash in the area is in the northern suburbs. Butterfield Road at Route 60, there is a crash. But everything else all quiet out there. Weather today, very similar to yesterday. Lots of sunshine, mild temperatures, a high of 42. A bit breezier today, so you'll get some wind, and that'll make it feel a little bit colder, but not too bad. Right now, it is clear and 42, which is where we're at for our high today. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 80 today. Right now, it's clear and 48. In sports, the Blackhawks needed a lot of offense, and they got it. Winning in Columbus in a shootout, 6-5 was the final for the Red Hot Hawks. The Bulls were off last night. They're back in action tonight, hosting Minnesota. That's a 7 p.m. Chicago time tip-off. College hoops, Illinois had their 7-game winning streak snapped as they were upset on the road at Michigan State's 81-72. Illini haven't won there since 2015. Notre Dame lost at Louisville 69-57, as we talked about last segment. And lastly, as we also talked about, in sad news, Tiger Woods suffered a serious car accident yesterday 30 miles south of Los Angeles and had all kinds of issues, apparently with open fractures to his lower right leg, and he had a rod placed in his tibia and screws and pins inserted in his foot and ankle during an emergency surgery. Apparently the injuries are not life-threatening, but it'll be a long recovery for Tiger. Chief.
The couple of things here. I was talking before the break regarding of course, I get my coronavirus stuff from outside the country. I'm gonna accuse the really solid research from this country to not being widely available. For some reason, we can't handle the truth. But anyway, over in Britain and in Sweden and a couple other places where they've been vaccinating, all sort of the same formula, where you're getting to the older people first. Well, the graphs show new cases of COVID among the age groups that are being vaccinated dropping like a rock. So the vaccines are working. And so that's the first, really good evidence that after, 20 or 25 weeks that I've seen that's definitive, that shows the people testing positive, new people testing positive, that the lines of the people that are in the vaccine group are firing down through the other groups in terms of new cases. So I'm going to say that's good news, guys, isn't it? You think?
Yeah, it is good news. I wish I could remember. I have an article stored away somewhere that you'd get a kick out of. And I think it was NBC News, and it was a senior writer at NBC News wrote an editorial criticizing DeSantis because he was vaccinating the groups that are the strongest Republican supporters in Florida,
the old people.
So Cubans who were refugees after the Bay of Pigs.
Well, I just
old, yeah. Old Holocaust survivors. Very old, and then zip codes. He started talking about communities. Well, yeah, the villages, other retirement communities where the average age is like 70.
I don't. This whole idea of you're supposed to treat this is so crazy to me. I mean, that's I guess that's why I'm not in office. But that the idea that you're supposed to treat people differently. After you won, you figure out who didn't vote for it, and for the next 4 years, you do your best to screw them. I never.
Sure, you shut down their pipeline right away.
Yeah, you do whatever you can to screw them. I'm sure that it's not a new thought, but I really didn't. I don't think that Roosevelt came up with Social Security for just the states that voted for him, did he? I mean, just the idea that you would ever, even if you may have thought it, that you would. Act in such a way or talk in such a way, I can't even imagine.
Well, and the reason I brought up the article is DeSantis is doing exactly what you described. He is vaccinating older people. And, that's Florida's priority, older people. And if it just so happens that that tends to be a Republican constituency, so you have somebody out there complaining about it.
Well, I heard, not to get politically incorrect, because it's at a point here where African Americans can say anything they want, and nobody can say a word against it. But a guy yesterday was saying that an African American dude, that how discriminatory it is that we're vaccinating people over the ages of 65 or whatever it is, when black people the life expectancy is not as long. Now, the fact that the life expectancy is not as long, I find troubling. But the life expectancy for men has never been as long as women. Being a male, I find troubling. I don't exactly know what I can do about it. Does that mean that you should vaccinate guys at 55 and women at 65? And
well, first of all, if you're going to, again, this goes to average and stats leading to you to the next question. The first question is, why is the life expectancy lower? And you need to dive into that a little bit. There are probably some societal causes, like the murder rates in urban areas that have higher concentrations of African Americans, but there may be other factors as well. And so maybe that if you put the put the same two people, white and black, into a setting in an idyllic suburb, and you find out that there's a 5-year life expectancy difference, then fine, let's talk about that, and let's talk about, relative on the aging process. Maybe you need to make the cutoff different. But here's the thing, is, states that have been managing this a little bit better, and, everybody's had their blips, but Indiana just lowered its threshold to 60 just this week, because they're pretty much caught up on older people who want to be vaccinated, and so they have the threshold down to 60. Does that kind of cover the concern then?
Well, in Illinois, it's all first response. Well, it's all healthcare workers. Now teachers are the front of the line. They have a special spot just for teachers. And why there's a special spot?
They are special in Illinois.
Yeah, because they're, why there's a special spot for 30-year-old teachers? Nobody else can even go there. I have no idea, but I think that people also need to understand, though, that the welfare benefits, and I'll use the term welfare, is getting something you didn't pay for. That a large part of welfare benefits go to the wealthy, right? And even though the wealthy will never even admit that at all, welfare is food stamps for those people. No, welfare is getting something you didn't pay for. And I'm going to say that the more the upper class, for lack of a better term, lives longer, so they get way better Social Security benefits, and are much more likely to get an artificial hip at age 75 than somebody who's a minority or somebody who's poor, because you don't make it to 75. I mean, I know that. I mean, it's very ignorant for advantaged white people to say, I don't get any benefits. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You get way more. When is the last time one of the Hispanic guys who's working that I once in a while have in my house has gone to a national park? Never. But you go. I mean, the idea that rich people don't get welfare is insane, right, Maddie? Kevin, or am I wrong?
No, I hear what you're saying. But long story short is, don't just throw out a number at me. Let's talk about cause. Let's talk, what's it really telling us? Because that's the important part. And then if you want to set your policy based on some knowledge rather than just throwing out a statistic, I'm all for it. But we've been living off of the policy based on raw data that doesn't tell you anything for longer than a year, but certainly in a very intense way for a year.
Well, I would agree.
By the way, Illinois is doing a little better than you're giving them credit for.
Lately, last few weeks, they are.
Well, I'm just saying, overall, in the country, they're ranked 23rd in total vaccinations. So they're slightly above middle, of average.
And that's on a normalized number, right, Matt? Like per 100,000 or something
like
that?
Yeah, exactly. Yep, exactly. And since we have more people than most of the states, it's even more impressive.
I think the dramatic improvement in the last few weeks is... all of a sudden, everybody I know now is at least has an appointment that's older.
Yeah, Illinois is better than Washington, better than Florida, better than Pennsylvania, better than Indiana, better than Ohio. I mean, better than a lot of big states.
In terms of just total numbers of vaccinations given?
Yeah. So your question is, you can put them side by side, so it makes for a good comparison, that when you look at Illinois and Indiana... here's my question is, okay, next thing is, who's getting vaccinated? And I think the priorities are a little bit different. Indiana has been very heavy on the older population priority, whereas Illinois has had what, as Tom has described, other priorities.
Yeah, well, I think the idea that the numbers I've seen out of Europe, I think are incredibly encouraging. To the point where, as we start Major League Baseball, at least the older people should get to go to the ball game. Right? It's almost reached that stage, which is...
I think you just said, if I could literally translate that, I should get to go to the ball game.
Well, I already had the COVID, so it's...
All right.
It's interesting. I had a doctor's appointment yesterday, so I wandered in and I've got this young lady who could, you could tell she's Polish just by the way she was speaking, and nice as can be, and she goes, give me that mask, here's a new one. She goes, that thing looks terrible. I go, okay. And, I said, by the way, I already had it, I don't really need a mask. She goes, I already had it, I don't need a mask either, but I guess we're gonna put up the front for a while. She said, if you're gonna put up the front, you might as well put up a clean front than a dirty one. Some of these ladies, especially, if English is their second language, they're so directed to the point, it's hilarious, isn't it? There's no mincing of words. It's just, they just tell you straight out. What are you doing wearing that crummy old mask? Okay, here, give me a new one. All right. I think we need to. We're going in the right direction here, and I think we should, just keep doing that. I mean, I'm really happy with the way the vaccines are working. I really do believe, Kevin, that they're safe, and I sure hope I'm not wrong. But I think they're. Oh my God, Russell has entered the building. Thank you, Russell.
You're welcome.
Maybe we're coming to normalcy after all.
We are coming to normalcy pretty soon. The World Headquarters Breakfast Buffet will be open.
Yes.
Back in business.
Well, as soon as the Dunkin' Donuts opens, I guess we'll do something.
It's sunny. It's 40 degrees. The snow's melting. Russell brought coffee. I mean, what a morning.
This doesn't get any better than this. Russell,
this is
happening. I was telling you, yesterday going outside a little bit yesterday was so sweet.
Kevin,
wasn't it?
I had the windows open in the house for a while.
I drove around. I actually dug out my car for the first time yesterday, so of course I drove it. Had the windows down in the car. It felt like it was 70 degrees, even though it was 45.
Windows down, music loud, Matt.
That's right.
But you know what else, Kevin? When it's melted, if you're observant, not saying you guys aren't, if you look at the melt, it's so obvious how bad this storm was, because as you melt away the light stuff on top, the water content of the stuff underneath. Everybody's got gutter problems. Next to me, there's like a cubbyhole between where Matt and I live in the house next door. There's the chunks of ice in there. Looks like they could sink the Titanic falling off the roof of the people next door. I mean, it's the underlayment, the underlayer has so much water, and we've got ruts. What are they? They got to be how deep in the alley, Matty? Under a foot?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not normal snow. That was the first one that came down that was the heart attack snow. It just became ice under all the rest of the stuff. It's going to take a few more of these 40-degree days to get rid of that, I think. It's not going anywhere. It's heavy. You see the piles of snow on the side of the road. I mean, they're blocks of ice now. I mean, you don't want to hit one of those things. It's scary.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to get a little rain, too. That's going to wash some of it away. That's going to create some problems, too.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's going to wash a lot away.
All right, Kevin, we have Russell here and with us.
Can I say one thing real quick regarding the vaccinations? To put a bow on that, it's February 24th, so, most people in the United States will say that even though we know it was here before that, but it was pretty much that first or second week of March when we really call it, that was the starting point of this whole thing. So almost a year ago. And the fact that according to the latest numbers, we have over 13% of the U.S. population has now received at least one dose, 6% have received two doses, and we're not even a year into this. It's pretty impressive. By the when we look back in history, nothing has been perfect. Obviously, nothing ever is. But when the private business and the government pair together like they have for an emergency, and we've done this many times in our history, we usually do a pretty good job. And the fact that we're going to have everyone vaccinated, within a year and a half of this whole thing, I think is pretty impressive. Now, do we need a million shutdowns and back and forths and killing business while we did it? Probably not. But at least on this front, I wanted to give some kudos.
I think the business part, Manny, I hope people heard what I tried to say. It was the unevenness of it that still to this day pisses me off. You close some places, you let other places be open.
I'm not talking about the shutdowns at all. Yeah. I'm talking strictly about the vaccination.
You know what? You are 100% correct, my friend. And I will say this, that, the Trump administration is going to is going to go down, I guess, as, you know, Trump being Trump. But this private partnership you're talking about, where they decided as Operation Warp Speed, after World War II, I don't think I've ever seen, maybe the space program, anything that worked out better and was a better idea. And for those who don't know what I'm talking about, I don't know who was in the administration. I can't pin credit for anybody, but I'm going to say, Kevin, were you on or Russell? We went through this thing, and I'm going to say October, where they said, because remember using the dates of Thanksgiving and the day after. In October, I think we said that there were seven companies, and they needed money. The government gave them money, like $400 million, which seems like a lot of money, but in the midst of trillions, it's chump change. God, I wish somebody would give me $400 million chump changers, but it was chump change, and they told these companies, if you think you got a winner, start producing it. We want 100 million vaccines from every ball 70, you schmucks, and we'll pay for them right now. The idea being, if you get approved on Thanksgiving, that you're gonna be shooting them in people's arms the day after. And the price was, if you needed money for development, you got like, what was it, Kevin Russell? Was it $12 a shot? And if you did it all on your own, like Pfizer keeps crowing about, we're going to give you $18-19 a shot. I don't know of any shot anybody's taken anywhere now that's less than that kind of money. So not only did they get the ball rolling, they actually got a pretty friggin' good price. I mean, it's got
to
be...
And among other... There had to be a lot of people involved in making that happen. But I remember telling you at the time, because everybody was saying, well, why is Pence in charge of this? What does he know about any of this? And I remember saying at the time, what Pence really was good at when he was governor here was he was a good administrator. You know, there was a lot of ideological crap that he brought into government that I couldn't stand. Basically it was, the religious conservatism. I don't think any of that has a place in government. But when it comes to just being a good administrator, that was his strength as a governor. And I'm really not surprised that when he was in charge of the task force, that the task force kind of, got organized and got going on this. That part, I'll say yes. The only thing that bothers me about it is that we focused on vaccine immediately to the exclusion of treatments. Treatments that in many cases have proven to work. And, of course, if you have a treatment, if you have a really a good, effective treatment, you can't fast-track the, it's against the law for you to fast-track the approval.
All right, Carl said this.
So, I think there was also a financial incentive to make this happen before people realized that they could have done some other things.
Well, there's all kinds of... Carl said the same thing, but, Kevin, we don't care about no stinking laws. We do whatever we want. Just because there was a law against
it. I understand that. We never have. Well, I won't say we never have. We haven't for a long time.
That's what makes you wonder, because I think this is working pretty well. Matter of fact, really well. It makes you wonder why we need another $160 billion thrown at the COVID stuff.
The bill that they're going to have that's more like over, $2 trillion.
Well, but this is the
and
weird.
It's only going to be 20% COVID stuff anyway.
Yeah, but this is the weird part, Kevin, is that this is why one of my constant themes for the righties and the lefties among us is that careful that you don't waste your time arguing back and forth with each other. Look at what's really going on. If you look at the $1.9 trillion that Biden's coming through, what are regular people, and I'll call us regular people, can we say Russell's regular? Pretty regular.
Yeah.
The, what are we, if you go to a saloon, like I was last Saturday, having dinner and listening to conversations around me, everybody's bitching about this guy shouldn't get his check because he's making too much money, or this guy, this business shouldn't get a PPP because they're still doing okay, blah, 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 blah. And now the Republicans come out with a counter bill that's $790 billion. So it's less than half, right? And then whether how much the $160 billion to the mask, gloves, vaccines group, meaning that whole, whatever, who makes all that crap, that number the Republicans then cut by a nickel. So what I'm saying is the real money is in that bill. And somehow or another, how many masks can you buy for $160 billion for a guy? I mean, we already have. We already ordered and paid for, I'm going to say 400 million vaccine doses for, and for nowhere near that amount of money. So to double up at this point, I don't mean
nobody's going to care about any of that, Tom. Just give me my $1,400 check.
Well, what I'm saying is you can divert people from the real money very easy, and both sides of the aisle are really good at that, because somebody has gotten to both sides and said, I'm the mass producer. I want my dough. And if all of a sudden this thing's cured in 2 months, I don't care. Keep it going until I get to sell you my billion masks. I mean, something is, the interplay between the money and the policy is, to me, is, as Maddie says, in 1 year, you know, America, it's like making the sausage. We came out with a pretty good outcome, I think, at the end, given the warts. But the combination of the politics and the decisions and what people were allowed to hear and not hear and the truth being scrambled, that I can't forgive. I sound like Vito Corleone. That I can't forgive.
Don Corleone. Yeah. And I will not forgive.
Yeah, that I can't forgive. The fact that money has somehow entered the policy here when people were dying in a lot of ways. And I think that sucks. But we're never going to get away from that. But am I wrong or am I on my soapbox here?
No, I'm with you on that, and you know that's probably a good sign off. Other than we still have to get to Pritzker and doubling salaries, but we'll do that on Friday.
Yeah. By the way, is Michigan are they going to creep all the way up to Gonzaga and Baylor? That's what I was looking at the other day. There, are they getting that much better?
They are. They had a long layoff, so it's hard to say. But that yeah, I don't know if you guys got to watch any of Michigan and Ohio State in basketball. They're both very good teams. And it was a really good game that went right down to the closing minutes.
Well, by both of you gentlemen are both here. Question, it appears to be, and well, Maddie's our college basketball second expert, why did the layoff seem to bury Michigan State and it seems to have recharged Michigan? Is that just the way the school handled it, the coaching, I mean, or what? I mean,
well, it could very well be tied into leadership and you know, team dynamics are always interesting, and anytime you make a big change, like a layoff, and then you tell them they can't practice either, and all, everybody's going to react to that differently. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, how well the team leaders get involved in it. A lot of that is going to be up to individual players, and you know, I can't speak specifically about those teams because I just don't know them, but. You know, that's what's going to happen, and you can take any team. You can take a work team. Look, when we try and start getting people back into offices and things like that, we're going to go through a whole process with teams trying to get themselves reoriented to how they work together again.
I would agree. Well, do you think there's any? I don't know. There's a difference. Do you think? I suspect the Michigan State's layoff was when there were nobody on campus, and Michigan's. I think some kids are back. Do you think there's a difference there?
Could be. You know, how normal is your life? Because yes, if you get shut down, you're locked. You know, kind of locked up on campus in a bubble, and you can't see anybody. That could be weird too. On the other hand, if the only people you can see are your teammates when you're shut down, maybe that's a good bonding experience. So it could be tied into it. I just don't know how.
I'll tell you what. Just as a personal thing, when at Notre Dame, Kevin and I lived in the same dorm, and let's just say the dorm was built in the. You wouldn't put your daughter or son there now for the amount of money they're charging and saying this is home. But I mean, my room was. When I pulled out the day bed, I could bang my head on the other side of the wall. But it was fine for. Let's say it was perfect for school all day. Then go play basketball or football. Then go to the bar or study and go to the bar. That was fine for that. The thought of me being locked in that room, Kevin, I can't even. I mean, we had the big room for the, we had the TV and everything, right? So we could always go there and watch. But the thought of me being 24 hours a day in there, the window was, I think I would have used it. I mean, I can't imagine being locked in a dorm room. Whatever. Especially at that age. Whatever. All right, Kevin, thank you very much. But we will talk about the Pritzker stuff on Friday. SP Futures up 14, NASDAQ Futures up 87. We don't care about no sell-off yesterday for a while. We're right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. a longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, Audrey Johnson, at Realtor.com. That's Audrey Johnson at Realtor.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. We've got Mr. Russell Rhodes with us in the office, which is makes my day. It's sunny outside. The snow's melting. We got coffee. Life is good, Manny.
I tap dance my way in here.
It really happens every year where I go, God, I can't deal with another winter, and it just, I just want to die, and I can't deal with it. And then you get that first like couple of days of 40s or 50s, and you're like, oh yeah, this is why we live here.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be over in the swimming pool tonight doing all kinds of, because I'm going to try and play some golf with you this year, Manny. So,
oh, I would like that.
I don't know if I can hit it as far as I used.
Russell, do you ever play golf?
It's been a while. I used to. I was like single, lived in Atlanta for 5 years, and basically played every weekend, and then moved up here like Labor Day and laid off for basically the winter because that's I could play year round in Atlanta, and then got out about March or so, and I think about 40 strokes had been added to my game.
Oh my God.
It was just like, so I just lost the consistency. So I have a great set of clubs.
It's such a hard
game. Oh, by the way, I was listening to you guys talk. You accidentally segued. I was listening on the way in. My next door neighbor's kid is looking at possibly playing golf in college at a Big Ten school.
Well, good for him.
And they know everything about the tour. And you were talking about people moving around for the tour. The PGA actually will charter a plane to take you from one event to another if you're a golfer or a caddy. And they do charge you for it, but they charge you like a normal, like basically what a normal flight would cost.
Well, I know.
So they help them get. They do help them get around in this day and age. And
well, the big shots rent a house.
Yeah,
I mean they're not in the local.
Or they stay in. I lived in Memphis. I lived really close to where they would play the annual tournament. Now it's the FedEx. I forgot what they called it before. But a lot of people that were members of the club would actually put people up in their houses.
Okay,
because they have a golfer stay in their house. One of the ones that's possibly, you know, maybe barely getting by. But I've been following my favorite golfer is Victor Hovland because he comes from Oklahoma State, but he also just seems like he's always having such a great time. And
I don't think I know him. How do you spell his last name?
Hovland.
Has he ever been on a leaderboard?
He has won a couple of tournaments. Okay. He's number four in the FedEx
Cup.
He's going to be on the European Ryder Cup team.
Yeah, he's one of the.
I've seen him. Yeah, okay, yeah. He's got the super hot girlfriend.
No. You're thinking of Ricky Fowler.
No. He does kind of look like Ricky Fowler. I thought this guy did too. Maybe not.
Matt Wolf has a really hot girlfriend. Matt Wolf and Ricky Fowler.
How could you not?
I mean, Victor Hovland. I know.
I'm sure Victor will have no issues.
I'm really like a big fan, and I like follow him on Instagram and stuff. I've never seen him with a girl.
Oh, well.
So
he's a good looking young dude, but he does wear like the Ricky Fowler orange pants sometimes.
He does. Like, yeah, which is and cool. He rocks out to heavy death metal all the time. But you were just talking about the expenses and stuff. Back when they started tournaments back up, Lexus is one of his sponsors, and Lexus gave him a car to drive around the country. So nice. He didn't have that expense. I think a lot of the expenses that they used to have to take on themselves.
You seriously need a sponsor.
Because
this is a long time ago. A lot of the guys in the OEX pit, there was a guy on the then Nike tour. Now it's five iterations ago. They sponsored a guy on the Nike tour for a year on the, and then he ended up getting because then you get a little piece of what the guy makes.
But
he ended up getting. I was Titleist or somebody, but I got. Speaking of which, did you see the last turn? Was it 2 weeks ago that Jordan Spieth actually was up near the top again? Mm-hmm. And because he hadn't been doing that well for a while, and of course the article I'm reading, who's the incredibly smoking hot golf writer now? There used to be a golfer for a little while. What's her name, Manny?
She does points bet commercials too. Paige something.
Yeah, Paige something something. Well, then of course if you look at her, if you go to her website. You know, she's got the most incredible outfits that nobody would ever wear on a golf course, right, with her figure. And, of course, the fifth one was, I can't believe people just constantly are looking at my body and not my eyes. I mean, look what you're wearing anyway. But
eyes up here, buddy.
Yeah, eyes up here, buddy. I mean, it's like, for God's sake. But anyway, one of the guys on the trading floor, Rick Bruder, remember him? He was, I think, Freddie Couples was his college roommate or something. Huh. So whenever Freddie would come play the Western, the Dear Departed Western, he'd stay at Rick's house. And those guys love to do that. I mean, they've had it with the Motel 6s kind of thing. I mean, plus a lot of these places don't have enough. I don't know if there's enough hotels around Augusta. It's a small little town, isn't it?
I would assume that. Well, the time that I went to a tournament out there, everybody that goes to the tournament is basically staying in somebody's house.
Okay.
I went on somebody else's dime, and they had rented out a really nice house for us to hang out.
Because the big houses that lead into the, lead into the grounds and stuff, those people all leave and give it to a player, right?
I wouldn't be the least bit, so because, you know, the membership of Augusta, the people have a little bit of cash. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if there's a handful of people that,
I'll make you a promise.
Have a house they visit once a year.
If you were to get, say, your membership to Augusta, I would promise to practice up for a few months
and take you along
in preparation for your having me as a guest. Mm-hmm. Would you, Maddie?
Of course I would, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and you guys would be, you'd be at the very top of the list.
And the problem is that as much as I play, I haven't really gotten that much better, so Augusta would be tough. But
well, I'm going to, as a guy who used to be halfway decent, Maddie, in order to get better, you need to do two things. You need to play twice a week, at least, and you need this. And one part of your game is always going to be, as my grandmother used to say, verstunken. You need at least a two-hour practice time where you practice that part of your game and improve that, and then you play for another couple of weeks, and there's another part that's going to be lagging, and then you need to practice that part.
Yeah.
But you need to practice the part that you're – otherwise, you end up playing, you practice your mistakes.
No, it's true, and I never practice. I go out and play, and I'll play two times a week, but I never practice. And, you know, sometimes you have it going, and you have a 2 or 3 week stretch where you're playing pretty well, and for me that means, you know, shooting in the high 80s. You know, then I'll have stretches where all of a sudden one part of the game just completely falls apart. And then it takes a month to figure out what that is, and by the time you figure it out, something else falls apart.
Well, if you read once in a while, if I'm sitting somewhere, I read the Golf Digest, because some, you know, places still have it. In print, and it was interesting. The guy says, if you want to shave 10 strokes off your game, here's how you do it. You know what number one was? Mm. You know, I would never have guessed this. I was a caddy when I was 12, so I mean, I've been playing golf my whole life. I would never have guessed this, because most people now carry a few different wedges, right? I mean, say, or even your nine. Say you have a pitching wedge, you have a gap wedge, and maybe if you know what you're doing, you have a lob wedge. That's always my club that I could hit somebody's windshield if you hit it just wrong. But if they said very few people have any idea how far their different wedges and their nine iron go, and they screw up so many shots when you're near the green. And that, so the first thing you do is take out 100 balls and hit, well, whatever, 25 shots with, say, your nine iron. And hit 25 shots with your pitching wedge and 25 shots with your gap wedge and pace them off. There should be like 10 or 15 yards difference between the three. So you know when you're 90 yards away, that's your gap wedge. Because most people use the wrong club all the time.
I know. You know, it's true.
I mean, but that's such a simple thing to do. You know,
but the much harder shot, at least for me, is when you're in between.
And well, sure. Yeah, oh, yeah.
I mean, those shots are just killer. And obviously, the good golfers are before they get to that point, know what to use so that they're never in between.
Well, they aim for a spot where they always have a full swing.
Exactly. Yeah. And so the bad golfers just try to hit it as far as they can and as close to the green as they can and then deal with whatever they're left with. So instead of giving yourself, you know, let's say if you're good with the 7-iron, giving yourself that 7-iron shot every time, you know, I always put myself in between where I can never take a full swing. And then that's when you either, you know, blade it over the green or you chunk it and it rolls 5 yards and you're like, what the hell?
Well, you should be able to hit a 50-yard pitching wedge without hitting it 2 feet or 200 yards. I mean, you should have some sort of touch at some point.
No, it's true, yeah. But I'm just saying those shots are much harder than taking a full swing.
You know what I find them really hard is forever, and that's why I'm not really good. I have those shots to me are really hard on a very short fairway.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
They're much easier if you got a little more grass under you.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm.
A full shot nothing's worse than a 50-yard wedge shot out of a fairway that's like a quarter inch high. I mean, anyway, Manny, I've played pretty much, not all of them, but a lot of the courses around here. I mean, Butler is spectacular. Now, I bet Russell would get us on Butler. I can get us on Olympia Fields. That's really a course.
I played one of the Cog Hill courses last year, and that was fun.
Well, Dubs Red is really hard. I played. I didn't get to play number. What's the tournament course at out west? What's the name of the place?
Medina.
Medina. I didn't get to play. Medina 3 was a tournament course, right? I played one.
Yeah, I've never played out there.
But all those courses that are the same era, Medina, the ones up north, Evanston. They're all the narrow, massive amounts of tree kind of courses. I mean, all the Chicago courses.
I think they're the hardest courses to play.
Oh God, yeah. Because if you're down in the trees, who says you come out of there with less than five?
Right. I mean, you hit one shot in the trees, and you know you're done for that hole.
Yeah. Where if you're in Arizona, you knock one into the desert. It's all lateral. You pull it in the fairway, and you're hitting three.
Right.
You're good to go. Anyway.
One last thing. Are we going to broadcast live from the Ryder Cup in Sheboygan?
We should.
Why don't we?
Is that this summer?
It was supposed to be last year, and they moved it up, but late September.
Which course are they
thinking about going.
Which course?
I don't know. I just know Sheboygan.
Well, my favorite course out of all those is the hardest one, I think, is the Meadows, the original. If it's windy, good luck there. There isn't a tree on the place.
Whistling Straits.
Yeah, well, they're playing Whistling Straits. All right.
Yeah, but it's rescheduled from last year. And I, especially, again, I'm going back to my boy that from Oklahoma State. And there's several good golfers from Oklahoma State that he's going to be on the European team. So now I'm going to have to go and follow him around. And my wife has said she's always wanted to go to a golf tournament and just kind of walk the course and follow somebody. She just, it's one of those bucket.
Well, that would be a cool one.
Bucket list things, yeah. Yeah. And you can get tickets.
Can I have 2 minutes maybe before we dive into volatility to tell my Whistling Straits story?
Sure.
We used to have this tournament from the floor where we'd go every year, and it was, you know, pretty reasonable money at that time. It was a Calcutta. For those of you who don't know what a Calcutta is, you pick teams, and we used to have, you know, we'd have 20 teams, so it'd be like 80 guys, maybe 17, 18 teams. So then you'd look at who ended up on all the teams, and you'd bid on the teams. And a Calcutta is set up. There's a lot of them for basketball too. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but say Russell's the head.
They're
of
big for the NCAA tournament bracket.
Yeah, big. I mean, I was at one where it was $250,000 cash. It was the year of Fight Slamma Jamma. and a few guys on the floor, we'll go nameless, paid. They paid $15,000 cash for Five Slamma Jamma. And if they didn't make it to the final four, they were losers. Anyway, what happens is, say there's a team with the three of us and Thomas on there. And somebody bids, why they would. They bid $1,000 for our team. You know the payoffs. So now if our team's 1,000 and the next team's better, they're going to go for 1,500. So you relatively put everybody in place, and you know at the end of the day what the prize money is. But the teams get bid based on the teams. So all you need is the first team. Like it was an NCAA Calcutta, you'd say Maryland goes for $5,000. Then you go, okay, well, Maryland's got what percentage chance of winning? 1 in 100. Well, that means a team that's got, 10% chance of winning is going to go for $50,000. Right? So you price that way. So anyway, we play the day before, and it's raining like stink. The river is the river course, hence the name river, drains into the Sheboygan River. Well, the river got so high that the water was backing up on the golf course. It's just pouring. But we managed to finish. The next day, Dr. J and I are sitting there for breakfast. There's nobody around. We're supposed to be playing at Whistling Straits. And I said, John, you don't really think we're going to play today, do you? And he goes, I don't know. Nobody's around. We better drive up there at least. So we get in John's car. We go up there, and the guy goes, hey, you guys are on the tee. You got like 2 minutes. So the guy goes and parks John's car. We run up to the tee. There's no carts at this. Whistling Straits all walking. So we get this caddy, and he's like the college football coach, and he's carrying doubles, and it's pouring. So the first hole, John launches one into this. I didn't really know what a waste bunker was until I went to this place. You know what a waste bunker is, Manny?
Not sure.
It's a big, long sand. It's all sand, but there's crap, long grass growing out of the sand. But you can
ground your club in those.
You can ground your club, but it's like a sand trap that never gets raked. I mean, the thing is horrendous to get out of. So John lines one into the thing. He always brings, like, John's a horrible golfer. So he brings like five dozen balls. The guy goes, I'll get your ball. And John goes, nah, you don't have to get it. Well, it's pouring, right? So, and it's foggy. So the guy goes, no, I'll get it. He goes in the sand, and he starts sinking in the sand with the two bags on his shoulder. So John and I got to do something like in a Western movie, pulling the guy out of the sand. It was like a quick, this is only the first hole, right? So there literally were a couple of holes. When I say I played Whistling Straits, I couldn't describe 16 holes to you. It was so foggy, and on the tee, the caddy would have to go down in the fairway and show us which direction to hit. Then he would drop down to the ground, and we'd hit over his body. But literally, you couldn't see anything. But on the last few holes, are right on the water, and they are spectacular. But I mean, it was all kind of mud between tee and green. The dude didn't have spikes on it. He went down probably five times with these bags. And this guy's the football coach. Chad and I have to haul him to his feet with the bags. Okay, yeah, fine. We ended up giving him a nice tip and everything, but I don't think he had a good day at all. Neither did we. But the thing is spectacular, but the weather is really, I mean, it could be a sunny day anywhere else, and all of a sudden the wind would come off the lake, and that thing's all fog. But it's a beautiful place. But if you're going to walk it, you're going to be 100 yards away where you can actually see people, because, I mean, it's in the middle of really rough country. Matter of fact, the one next to it, the Irish course, they had to import all these sheep from Ireland because it's got so many steep spots, the lawnmowers can't go up the spots, so the sheep eat the grass down. And I'm not kidding. This is serious stuff. I mean, you wouldn't put a house there. Anyway, but I'd love to go with you. But it's a beautiful place. Anyway, hey, earlier, Russell, and you can explain it better than I did. A day like yesterday, I was saying that when we're down so much, I'm flying back up, and we're talking about there was a 360-point range or something.
There was a lot of intraday volatility, and I totally listened to you guys. You were talking about how yesterday's price action, if you look at the volatility indexes, you look at realized volatility and those sorts of things, that you are only looking at the close-to-close prices, and what really happened yesterday doesn't really, and the impact that it would have upon people that were trading throughout the day, doesn't show up in the volatility numbers. And I think it does. And it doesn't show up in the realized volatility calculations, but I think the intraday volatility like we just experienced is the kind of thing that makes VIX stay up in the 20s.
Oh, I agree with you there. I'm saying,
yeah, because it's not part of the hard calculation, and I've done some things where I've tried to compare realized volatility, where you take the low to high from, you know, the yesterday's low to today's high and those sorts of things. And you, it all ends up kind of smoothing itself out with narrow days and wide days in the long run.
Well,
there's nothing additive to trying to take the intraday activity, because yesterday was, and you also said something about yesterday being kind of you know, an anomaly, not the what's regularly going on these days, and that's how I think it ends up smoothing out in the long run.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're in the business,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you remember it. I mean, you know,
oh, yeah.
You could have sold. I mean, if you sold a low because you had to yesterday and had to go buy it back at the close, I mean, you got a wound. I mean, there's no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you need a big Band-Aid for that one. But what I'm saying is, if 5 years from now, you and your gang at Loyola are looking back on the day, you're going to say this was an inside day just by mm-hmm. looking at what is normally available to you. Now, of course, you could dig in and see where the high and low were. And you know, but you're normally not going to do that. You're going to just look at close to close, right?
Right, right.
What
and that's, you know, that's the way the academics look at it. I'm working on a bunch of different things that try to, you know, that'll try to give you an idea of when VIX is actually going to go back down to the teens. What's been a leading indicator in the past? And that high-low range, it narrowing before you start to see VIX drop off, that's something I've been trying to quantify.
Okay.
So I'd already been working on what you guys were talking about this morning.
Well, that's why
I got all excited about it.
You're not only working on it, you're ahead of us, for God's sake. That's why you're here.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was the free coffee.
Well, that helps.
Yeah.
Now, my question, another question to you is, when you're, I hate to beat up on the poor guy, but this Powell talking yesterday. I mean, I'm trying to get somewhat of his definitions, and when you talk about, and it, like I said, the thing that always pisses me off on the CPI, because Kevin was mentioning, you know, maybe we need a 10-year look back, and I said, God, Kevin, they don't want that. I mean, when he says transitory, and we look at last year, and this morning I was hearing new car prices last year were up 6.5%, used cars, I forget if it was 10.5 or 11.5, but it's in there. I think it might have been 11.4. Now, we have new home prices the last quarter were what? They were up like 6% in the last quarter?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you say transitory, by definition, if you were to use that word in class, which I don't think you would ever be dumb enough to, like our Paul does, and Janet, would you mean that by the end of the year, those prices come back down or they stop going up?
There's not a third option there?
Well, I mean, when you say, well,
I guess, back down, like, yeah, or the I would think that there's a third option of going up.
Well, okay, he's saying.
But, and when he said transitory, have they really been acknowledging inflation yet?
Yeah, what he said was the inflation mm-hmm. that's out there is we believe to be transitory. That's what Janet Yellen said last week, and that's mm-hmm. what. But now my question is, and
then he's trying to say it's short term,
well,
and it's going away.
Well, okay, now, and what I'm saying mm-hmm. is now that brings up. I mean, you and I are trying to be a little more. I'll use the term rigorous than these guys are. They just want to BS us. Now, does that mean that the housing prices that were up to 6% in the last quarter of this year, go down 6% and we're starting from even?
No.
Or does it mean that they're going to stay up 6% and from then on they're going to go way up 2%?
It's going to be a slowing of the trend line.
Okay, well, now that's...
It's the slope is going to start to come back down, according to what he's saying. Which, you love the conspiracy stuff. Do you think Do you think maybe he's just trying to talk it down a little bit so people can get ahead of inflation with their trading?
I think he's going to pour money into the system because they think that that's the lady who just wrote the book on
the monetary. Yeah,
she's on Biden's council or something. I mean, why?
Oh, I didn't realize she got added to Biden's council. Yeah. I have read her book though.
I mean, it's total BS.
I wouldn't say total BS. It's frightening because I don't think. It's one of those things that you know, the theory that she's running through will keep you going, but there will be a day of reckoning, to use Kevin's term from the previous hour, with respect to continuing to just, you know, basically add fuel to the fire. And I do think that it's starting to sneak in there. I know it's starting to sneak in there. I'm amazed, you know, Powell even admitted it a little bit. But I guess he admitted it and said it's just a one-off, nothing to see here. Transitory could also be, have we ever really had like short-term transitory inflation like that?
So could we
extrapolate that he just said it's different this time?
Because
that's the most frightening phrase out of anybody ever with the financial markets.
Well, why knowing, I mean, how old is he?
Older than me.
Okay, so how does he mean,
I hope he is the way he looks compared
but,
to
But
me.
People have asked him on six different occasions, and Auntie Jeanette the same
He's
way.
He's 68.
Okay.
So they've asked him on many occasions, and he said, if we're wrong and inflation breaks out, we have all kinds of tools to deal with inflation.
What are they?
the last time I saw inflation dealt with, it was Paul Volcker, and he put an entire industry out of business, which we haven't recovered from yet, the savings and loan.
Mm-hmm.
And he put an awful lot of people out of business. I mean, where exactly is fighting inflation an easy do?
It's never an easy do, and it's one of those things. Remember those peanut can things we had when we were kids where you'd offer them to somebody, they'd pop it open, and the big snake would pop out? But it was a freaking nightmare to get that thing back into the can for the second time to mess around with somebody. That's trying to cap inflation.
My brother did that to my aunt, mm-hmm. only it was a real snake.
I really like your brother.
In our hood,
was it like a garden grass snake?
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
my aunt didn't care. There was a little store in which you went and got penny candy, and she loved candy, and you'd have these little brown bags, and you'd say, "Give me one of those." So for 8 cents, you had So he's walking along, but we also had I don't know what was with our area. But Matty, believe it or not, this is in an urban area. If you took the lid off your garbage can and put it in the grass and went back an hour later, there was a garter snake underneath it. I mean, they were all over.
Oh, yeah.
And, my brother used to capture these things and throw them in the bag. So she goes, "Hey, Danny, what do you got in the bag?" Thinking it was like a piece of candy, and he pulls out the snake.
That's fantastic.
She was not happy. Even though it was a little garter snake, he was not happy. But they were all over the place.
Mm-hmm. But really, that's what I envision. If inflation starts kicking in, that it really, and I think that's what the folks at the Fed think about too as well, is that it's very, very difficult to control once it kicks in, and I think it's kicked in.
Well, how do you not do an analysis, especially if you're an older fart like me? How do you not do an analysis and say, okay, back in 78, say, people at Pullman, Kevin said you need to go back and see where you are. How do you go back to 78 and a person who worked at Pullman? Now, these were skilled workers, so
uh-huh.
I'm going to say they were making 20 grand somewhere in that. They made 25, depending on if you worked a little overtime. And a Notre Dame education was 3,500. A house was 40. A car was 4.
You could afford everything.
Yeah, a car was 4.
I could go to Memphis State and through working two part-time jobs and living at home.
Yeah, so I'm saying
you can never do that now.
So how do you not notice that now the median price of a new car is more than the median your annual salary? When in those days, it was essentially one fifth. The relationship. It's not like it's even close, Russell. We're not even the same planet. S&P Futures up 7, NASDAQ Futures up 22. How does somebody not say, boy, we got to worry about this a little bit. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back, Dr. Jackson. I'm talking about Mr. Matt Weber on the board and Mr. Russell Rhodes. With. I'm going to say, Matty, I have a couple of silver certificates at home that are $1. I'm going to say, what denomination are yours, Russell?
Mine's a one, and I found it in my dad's house when I was cleaning it out.
I actually have a bunch of silver dollars that I took back from Vegas at one time that they actually were silver dollars. I mean, that wasn't that long ago, where you actually had silver dollars there. Now they look like silver dollars, but they're kind of like silver tokens, Matty. I don't think they're only used in casinos, I think. S&P futures up 750, NASDAQ futures up 13, Dow futures up 26. One of the big movers here we had Lowe's is up, let me get the exact number, which is sort of interesting because here's what's there's a lot of things that trade the market. In retrespect, Russell and Maddie, yes, and everybody else, now here we are on Wednesday morning, and Tuesday morning we had Home Depot's earnings. They came out with good earnings, didn't give much of a, in fact, they gave no guidance going forward. So the stock got spanked. It was down like $7. So now Lowe's earnings are this morning, and I'm trying to find a spread to do in there, and I'm thinking, Lowe's is already down yesterday like $5 because of Home Depot. Now what do you do? Do you think it's gonna go lower, that they're gonna come in with numbers like Home Depot, but be that sour going forward? So I ended up not doing anything. And now Lowe's is up 371. So, I mean, these earnings plays, it's almost like even if you knew the numbers, it's hard to pick the stuff.
Oh yeah. Like, now I've told people a million times, you can tell me exactly what a number's gonna be. I still couldn't tell you exactly how to trade the stock. Maybe that means I'm a terrible trader, but it's because it's a lot of it's about the guidance.
Well, if you were to give me a piece of paper, don't give me a labor thing, don't give me an earnings thing, give me a Fed speech 2 hours in advance, and I'll make money on that 90% of the time.
Yeah.
Just saying. Say no more. DAX up 103.7%. FTSE up 9.1%. Tech around up 4. That's 0.1%. But get a load of this Asia stuff, Russell. Nikkei is down 484. That's 1.6. Shanghai down 72. That's 2%. Hang Seng down 914. That's 3%. What is going on up there? And then Singapore stocks are up 1.3%. What's the deal?
I know part of what that is.
Right, well, give me a second on the rest of the stuff, and then
yeah, go through that, and I'll give you a little explanation.
10-year 1.39. I said 4 days ago, and everybody's saying this is like the end of this stuff. I said $1.50 by the 4th of July, or 1.5, and 2% by Labor Day. I'm going to be short on that. It's going to be $1.50 in 2 weeks. Well, Bund minus 0.30. And another question you got to answer. How the hell are they still negative over there? Where everybody else running? Even Japan's up to 0.12%. Oil up 42 cents, 62.09. Brent up 60 cents, 65.97. Natural gas down 3 cents, probably because of the weather. RBOB up a penny, 187. Tell me, please, Russell, that you bought natural gas at 224 and sold it at 312.
No, I it's up around 412 now, right?
Natural gas, no, it's.
Oh, I'm thinking of copper.
Yeah, copper. No, you're seeing behind a 420 today.
Now I'm behind.
Gold down 550, 1800 exactly. Silver up 7 cents, 2776. Is copper is on its tier. All we had to do last May is buy Freeport at like 5 hours and do nothing else, Russell. Could have sat at the pool for God's sake. Crypto. Up 2,300 to Bitcoin, 49,518. Maddie, what do you got for us, Trevi? Weather, sports, sorry it took me so long.
That's all right. Coming up on 39 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We have a serious rollover crash with entrapment on the ramp to the inbound I-55.
Tiger Woods?
No, from the Veterans Memorial, I-355. So getting onto the Stevenson from I-355 on the southbound side. That's where that crash is, and that has crews on the scene and is causing a significant congestion, as you can imagine, on both I-355 and right around the Stevenson there. So that's the big area of concern so far this morning in the southwestern suburbs. Just north east of there, Route 83, right off of the Stevenson at Portage Road, there is a crash as well. The rest of the area expressways are starting to see traffic build, but no accidents or issues to report on the Edens or Kennedy. Same for the Eisenhower. Inbound Stevenson looking okay. No issues on the south side at this hour. Only other crash in the area, it's actually a medical emergency, it says, that's blocking the right lane on the Jane Addams eastbound at Illinois 25. That's way out northwest near Elgin in that area as you're coming in on I-90. Apparently there's a medical emergency blocking the right lane. Everything else quiet out there. Weather today, lots of sunshine, similar to yesterday, a high of 42. Right now it is mostly clear and 42 degrees downtown, so we'll stay right where we're at temperature-wise for our high today. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 80 today. Right now it's clear and 49. In sports, the Blackhawks stay red hot. They won on the road in a shootout over Columbus 6-5 last night. Bulls were off. They're back in action tonight, looking to win their fifth out of their last six games as they host the lowly Timberwolves this evening. That's a 7 p.m. Chicago time tip-off. College hoops, Illinois was 7-point favorites on the road, but they were upset by Michigan State 81-72. Really hurts Illinois' chances at winning the Big Ten regular season title. It also hurts them in getting a number one
Michigan
seed.
State coming. They won last weekend.
Yeah,
they
Michigan
back?
State's playing a lot better. They won at Indiana the other day, and then now they just beat Illinois. So they have a couple of really tough games left, but if they can go on a run here, they can get back into the tournament.
Telling you, Michigan State, Kentucky, that's going to be our championship game.
Both teams are playing a lot better.
I know. They're going to win their conference tournaments. They're going to plow through, and we're going to have like a sub-500 national champion.
Notre Dame lost at Louisville last night, 69-57, and then the tragic news yesterday, but thankfully, you know, he's not dead. Tiger Woods was in a serious car accident that we talked about last hour in the south suburbs of Los Angeles. Crush injuries to both of his legs. He was in major surgery all day yesterday. Expected to survive, but will be a long road if he's going to get back to golfing. Chief.
Long road to get back to walking.
Yeah,
That's a shame. I mean,
anybody that's ever, and I put myself in this category, but anybody that's ever gone through something that they got to get a lot of help for and then get themselves back on track, you hate when they basically have some sort of setback that, and you see them back on track and you see them have some sort of setback that's kind of random like that.
Well, he had no more spine surgery in December.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to say, of all the people that have been I started as a caddy. I loved golf. I was on a golf team in high school. And of course, it was nowhere near as good to be a college guy. But I'm going to say that of all the people, the two people that moved the game dramatically, and there's been a lot of stars and a lot of great golfers, has been Arnie Palmer and Tiger Woods. That have taken the game from where it was and just left it.
Palmer made it kind of fun.
But he took it
a bunch of people that loved to follow him everywhere he went.
But he put it on TV.
Yeah.
He made golf for TV. And then Tiger took it to the even next level and made it worth $1 billion. Oh, my question, did you watch the tournament? I asked it a Jordan Spieth question, and of course got onto some other subject like I never do. Why? Why did Spieth not have a he had a plain hat on. He didn't have a Titleist or somebody thing on his head. I've never seen that before. He had one emblem on his shirt. Is he fighting with his sponsors or something? His hat was plain. It looked like he got it from Duluth Trading or something. And then he had like one, maybe two thing on his shirt. But you now have like, what, five on your shirt and, one, and two on your hat or something? His hat was just plain. I never saw that. But I'm looking at it going, why does this guy not have a sponsor? We're talking about Jordan Spieth. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but it was.
I didn't see the tournament. I really only watched the majors because I don't follow golf that closely, but I do enjoy watching the majors. So I didn't see that. I did a quick Google search to see, you know, Jordan, if there's, you know, something that would pop up. Nothing popped up, so I'll have to look into it. But I assume he's in between sponsors or something. That would be my guess, unless there was a logo on the back of the hat or something that
no, or what? I mean, he was being interviewed. You know what happened? I started talking about Jordan Spieth, and as soon as I started talking about what's her name, I lost track of Jordan Spieth.
I'm sure.
It means I still have a pulse or what? I mean, I guess. Anyway, that's scary to admit, isn't it? Anyway, so Russell, we have a lot of where is academia and the Fed policies now? Why isn't there?
You know, academia is just trying to get by these days because we're not in the same spot, and it's ruined any of the little the most collaborative conversations I have every week are with you. The way I just said that, it just sounded god awful. And I didn't mean it that way, but you know, I don't. There are a couple of other people that focus in on option activity at Loyola that, you know, I've probably spent 15 minutes talking to in the last year. This whole not being able to get together and bounce things off, even if it's just randomly when you're walking, you know, when you're cutting through the Board of Trade building, I think it's kind of ruined. I think it's ruined the growth of thought. How's that? Well, being able to stay ahead of things.
By the way, I took that as
you're kind of on your own.
I took that as a compliment because the people that we have on this show come here ready to play and bring reasonable new thought to the conversation. And
yeah, I always question why. I know it's if I didn't bring coffee, I'd be on thin ice.
Well,
but no, you know, we really and. I get certain things that show me what people, you know, what working papers are out there. Everybody's working paper is focusing on it's, you know, I think if you're going to make a name for yourself, you got to do something different than everybody else. And everybody's focusing in on, you know, pandemic responses and those sorts of things and kind of dropping the ball with respect to the Fed policy around it. I really have not seen a National Bureau of Economic Research paper that's talking more, that's really, you know, focusing in on that part of the problem.
Well, I don't think we've ever, and again, I'm going to have to go back to my Friedman's book if I get bit through two pages and fall asleep. But I've never seen a situation in this country, and clearly they did it in the Weimar Republic and they've done it in a few other places. I've never seen a place where you never see any, there's no dialogue, there's no debate. And the money that let's say they come up with another $1 trillion plan. Let's just pick a number. Say it's halfway in the middle of the Republican.
It's 1.9.
Okay, but so the Republicans aren't gonna get it dropped at all.
Yeah,
I think it'll be 1.6 or something by the time they're gonna screw some small people. They always do, but the screw not give them as much. Mm-hmm. But there's zero debate on where they're gonna get the money. I mean, in World War II, it was. Where we got, you know, in hack deficit wise, and Milton Friedman, and somebody asked him this question, and I was in class, and the guy says, "What do you think of the federal deficits?" And he said, "They don't matter." And the guy says, "Why don't they matter?" He said, "Well, because it's like you and your wife." I said, "If you owe her $50, the house is flat."
Yep.
And his point was. In those days, for the deficit means that the government went out and borrowed money from the population. Now, that's why when you take everybody's word and everybody's thoughts, and that's why, you know, boy, talk about going crazy here. That's why when you start pulling people's statues down, you need to understand, I believe, I'm not being dogmatic here, you need to understand the history and the time frame you're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly.
And I mean, if somebody does something, that you today would seem politically incorrect, in those days, it might have been an advance forward. I mean, it's, anyway, what I'm saying is, but I don't think he would make the same statement knowing that 50% of the debt is held by other countries. I don't think he would say that. I'm guessing. Do you? I mean, because in those, but in World War II, when you had the big deficit, you had good-looking actresses and good-looking actors running around the country asking people to buy war bonds. So the liability on the government's balance sheet was an asset on the balance sheet of all the citizens.
Mm-hmm.
So if you looked at the 48 states at the time, collectively, we were flat. Because we weren't selling the money. We weren't selling the bonds in Germany, that's for sure.
Right. And
we weren't selling them in Japan, right?
We were flat up to about 30 years ago. I know that because it's something I talked about that I remember a professor talking about when I was in college. But that has, people ran out of money to buy the bonds, so we had to start looking elsewhere.
Well, what I'm saying, what we're happening now, mm-hmm. the idea is they have every intention of not borrowing. Because right now, if you just went out, forget about Japan and these other people, if you just went out and you're $1.9 trillion and went out and raised your interest rates and borrowed it from your population, it doesn't get you anywhere. Because the $1.9 trillion that you and I aren't going to spend, because we're buying the bonds, mm-hmm. the government's going to spend. But your
it's going to get spent.
But your net is even,
mm-hmm.
right? And maybe it's a little better because people save and the government doesn't. But the idea now that we're just going to print it and send it out there without any regards to whether it's inflationary, without any regards to the dollar, without any regards to this Bitcoin, to me, I would never invest in there, but to me it's an absolute message that an awful lot of people are saying, your dollar ain't worth squat, Sonny. I mean,
well, I think it's beyond. I think it's a lack of confidence in paper money from anybody, not just dollars. And until they restricted it, you used to see the big up moves in Bitcoin coming out of China. It would happen overnight.
Yeah.
Our time, we'd wake up and we'd have this big move. I'm wondering if I had money and I lived in China and I saw what happened to Jack Ma or anybody else that happens to have a little bit too much money and showing it off, I'd be looking for every way under the sun to get capital out of that country.
There's no doubt.
And, you know, although you're not supposed to be able to do it, there are workarounds as far as working around their internet firewalls and those sorts of things. I would not be the least bit surprised if we find out that a lot of that has been coming out of that part of the world. The bump has been coming out of that part of the world, not individuals in the U.S. that are buying in right now.
Well, now that you have opened up that, I'll use the term can of worms,
mm-hmm.
it leads me down a road.
Or can of snake.
Can of snake.
Yes.
Bag of snakes.
Little snakes.
Yeah, bag of garter snake. Yeah. How is it that we have, I think, you know, and you can confirm this, I think, as you would know, we have this double secret. Even though we don't like China, right, and we think they're a bunch of thieves and all this other kind of stuff, collectively we don't. It's not like we don't like anybody from China.
We don't like the Communist Party of China.
Right.
It's it's different because I have students from China and I think they're wonderful people. But it's so when you say I think you always have to just say, We don't approve of a lot of the things that the Communist Party of China does right now.
Well, you'd be your students, and, mm-hmm. and I know you love them, and I would too. You also know that somehow or another they're being tracked here, and with their families maybe at risk there. So, it's hard to be 100% trustful of somebody you know is being watched by somebody else.
Right. Anyway, I don't ever ask them very difficult questions about what's going on back there, of that kind of stuff.
But my point is that we have, if you and I want to start a factory over there, because I actually recommended somebody to the Chinese consulate one night at one of these Economic Club of Chicago things, you're going to get your political, I'll use the term hack, to oversee your going over. He'll find the place for you.
Oh yeah.
He'll keep his finger on the labor force so they don't demand a raise. And those guys make a real lot of money. You know, a couple of years ago, there were more new millionaires in China than any place else. And these are places where people are given money, and these are the finger in the pie kind of guys. Because when we were here, we had a group over from China, because we had some people in the agriculture at the time, And they were here doing, and we took them to a barge tour through the locks in the river. We took them to an ethanol plant. Mm-hmm. We explained how crop insurance goes. And those people, they said, oh, the guys that if you're going to do import-export stuff, you want to ship soybeans over there, you had to get your guy. And the guy was inevitably the 25-year-old son of one of the communist guys. They got a piece of every. But now we and they are letting those people come here, Russell, and we have a fast track citizen program for those guys that like nobody knows about. So if somebody comes here from China with, I'll say $1 million, and he puts the million into a building that has 10 jobs, doesn't he get a citizenship for him and his wife and like 2 other people or something? There's some
I don't know the rules behind that.
But there is a program.
Yeah, there was, but I thought that the previous president.
Maybe there isn't.
Put some rules in place that anybody that had direct ties to the Chinese Communist Party really could, and that include family members.
I'm talking about this is over 4 years ago. So
yeah, that was being fixed, and I think a big concern of a lot of people is are we going to backtrack on those sorts of things?
Well, one of my acquaintances here, in a minority company that everybody knows the name of, he was involved with bringing a group over, and they were going to finance an office building here, which had 100 people going to go to work there, and it was worth. This has got to be 6 years ago. It was worth like 6 citizenships for the guy's family and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what part of our population had any idea that stuff's going on? I mean, in Canada for a while, to be a citizen, what did you have to do? You had to show up at the border with $1 million or $250,000 or something? Wasn't that their deal?
That's how a lot of countries are like that.
Yeah, show up with the
money. Because I've looked into leaving the U.S. I know I have. I've just part of it's out of curiosity, but part of it's just, sitting around back in June and July and seeing the city that I always wanted to live in being treated like crap makes you think maybe it's time to go live somewhere else.
Well, are you, we're not asking anybody's nationality.
No, I don't have that ability to go backwards and get an Irish passport.
This is all foggy to me. It used to be the only places, I think, the only places that have dual citizenship were Ireland and Israel. But now, I think you are Italy, you can. And,
I know somebody that has Brazil, Italy, and the U.S.
Now, they must have been born.
Brazil born, naturalized U.S. citizen, and both parents were, or one of the parents was from Italy.
Okay. So can you do every place? Germany and France, or is it just?
I really don't know. I just know that and I always accuse this person of being a spy.
Well, I don't know. If I ever get off my dead ass, and because I have all the stuff and there's never went through it, if I got my Irish citizenship, does that mean I can just go move there? I don't even know.
Yeah, I think so. And actually, if you get an Irish passport, you are a citizen of the EU.
Okay.
Which means you... And I know somebody that actually... it's somebody that you may know as well that was heavily involved in our industry. When he turned 60, he did semi-retirement. And because he had one of his grandparents immigrated from Italy, he was able to get an Italian passport, and now he actually uses his EU passport through Italy to work in Dublin.
Okay, but now do you drop into their medical system, or are you still Medicare?
He did. That was one of the big advantages. He had to pay something, but it was negligible with respect to what you would pay for health insurance in the U.S. But yeah, he totally, when he moved to like some small, he could speak Italian, moved to some small village in Italy, hung out, drank espresso with the other old retired men, and then got bored.
You and I could do that a couple of days a week.
I could do that every day of the week these days.
all right, so you obviously, you're still hanging in the market.
Mm-hmm.
How long can we? We started earlier, and we'll talk about it more next week. Mm-hmm. If you look back on just, what does it mean to have somebody slugging along, making $35,000 a year, and a car costs them $40,000? And a house costs them, now we're up to $260,000. I mean, what does it mean for somebody not to have everything like that beyond your reach when you're the median person? When you and I know a time when none of that was beyond your reach if you just had a good job.
Well, you look at all of that and you realize what you thought when you were growing up has been completely taken away from you, or that you've kind of been duped, and then you vote with your pocketbook. And what you just described, I think, is a key reason that Donald Trump was able to get a lot of people to vote for him, even though, you know, and I'm not saying that he, you know, that it was stolen from or anything, but a lot of people did vote for him.
Oh, sure.
In 2020, and a lot of people voted for him in 2016 as well. But I think that what you just said is what people is what gets tapped into, and you know, that ends up, you end up extremely frustrated.
I thought you just pick yourself up by the bootstraps.
Nah, you end up, it reaches a point where you get knocked down so many times, it's just impossible to do that.
Well, you pick yourself up by the bootstraps and go get a job and work part-time. If it only gets you 40 grand and a car is 40, it's hard to go flying too far up on your bootstraps that way.
No, you just pick yourself up by the bootstraps like everyone else had to.
Yeah.
That's it.
I
don't care that, you know, college cost different when I went, and I don't care that, you know, money went further. You pick yourself up.
Whatever. You gotta just get back out there.
Manny, timing is everything. And when you get some old fart telling you how easy it was, when he graduated, he bought the house. The wife told him he better buy a house. He just happened to be in the right year.
That's right.
I mean, but you're never going to get one of those guys to admit to it. And you're never going to get anybody who's very liberal, you know, I mean, to admit what is behind the Trump phenomenon. I mean, Trump, I have no use for. But, I mean, did anybody not recognize why the people behind him go after him? That's just ignorant to me. You need to, even if it's ignorant by somebody.
Yeah. Well, but it's and I hate when
the billionaire that does think you should pick it up by the bootstraps, who was born on third and thinks he hit a triple. That's the one you want to get behind.
Well,
you
know, he's all you got if you've got one of those.
But for whatever reason, he tapped into other people's hatred of Washington for the last 25 years. Now, should he have been the guy? Man, you and I agree 105%. I'll use it could have been anybody but him, and he'd have done a better job. But the fact is, he did tap into it. Because other people don't realize the depth of how much people don't like what's happened in the last 20 years.
You're right.
I mean, and I'm saying, but you can't, you need to understand the other side before, you know, just so you can argue intelligently. Like Spock says, I don't agree, but I understand. Right? I mean, anyway, SP Futures now down 12, Nasdaq Futures down 110. We've dumped here. Russell, see, you get me going every week, buddy.
I know.
That's why, maybe it's the coffee. But I think it was the coffee. But I think it's you. We'll be back tomorrow with Stocks and Jocks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.